We've been talking about great escapes. And of course, the first great escape we talked about was a few weeks ago on Easter when Jesus broke the bonds of death and escaped the tomb in which he had been laid. On the third day, he was raised. And we celebrate that. And that was the greatest escape that has ever happened. The next week, we talked about some of those things that there were messages that are embedded in our minds. Somebody said something over us. Somebody just kind of embedded maybe a negative message, and we want to escape from those. And this, in a way, this message connects back to that one. Last week, I spoke about escaping the scourge, in a way, the scourge of racism and coming to reconciliation. So this week, we're going to talk about the freedom of our minds, escaping the things that have bound some of our minds. And realize that the context for the Apostle Paul writing so much was the context of Roman captivity, Roman rule all around that region. And the Roman soldiers were well equipped. They were the king on the block, so to speak. They had weapons, others didn't have weapons. And so Christians were easy enough to persecute because they had little power, they had little standing, and the Romans they weren't pacifists. They used crucifixion as a scary, torturing tool to keep the people in line. So when Paul is writing this, he's writing to a people. He's writing to a people that don't have a lot of defensive mechanisms. But the interesting thing is, Paul says, or he writes, "You have other weapons," and he's talking about the spiritual battle. And who of us has not been engaged in a spiritual battle? Temptation, wanting to say the wrong words, just being drawn or lured away from the things of God. We've all faced those spiritual battles. And Paul gives us a couple of strong words for this. But I want to embed a couple of other things into our hearts to start off on this Mother's Day. Probably should tell a little story about my mother. Just because it kind of came up in my mind, and I don't have other stories embedded in here that I remember, but a few years ago, Louise and I had been married we've been married about 10 years, and I was in Columbus, Ohio on a educational trip. I was visiting the guy who had been my best man at our wedding, and I realized that my high school girlfriend lived in Columbus too. Now, That's dangerous territory, but I had permission, okay? And so Louise said, "Sure, you can go visit her." So my best man and myself, we went to visit my high school girlfriend and got to meet her children, who were in their 20s and such. And she'd been having a hard time. She'd had a split from her husband, and actually the entomologist who stole her away from me way, way back when. But in any case, so she says, "You know, I don't think your mother ever liked me." And that was very interesting in high school. And my mother, of course, was protective. And Joni was her name. She was women's liberation A+. She was women's liberation A+. And so is my current wife. That's in that time zone, the early 70s, they paraded it. They fought for it. They did some of those things that they probably don't think, well, you know, today it's normal, but then it wasn't. That's 40-some years ago, friends, just in case you weren't doing the math. But she said, I think your mother never liked me. My mother pretty much liked everybody. I think what my mother really indicated was, you're not the person that my son should marry. That's really what it was. And we weren't that fitted for each other. And Mom probably sniffed that out, but she pretty much liked everybody. And my mother was a lady, and is a lady of grace. And I'm proud that I'm going to be able to spend more time with her as the months go by, and having had the charge to move closer to her. But my mother taught me about grace. Even when she was mad at me, she loved me. Even when I had done wrong and I got a list, she's probably still got a list. Maybe her memory's taking those away, and that's good. But she was a woman of grace. She was always gracious. As someone said in the early service, that unconditional love. And there was a few confrontations that my mother had to do with me because my father was working or in school, and Mom had to bring the bad news. Alan You got to shape up here. She was a lady of grace. And isn't that what most we would desire and hope and want from mothers, is their graciousness and their love, yet with some firm control, because we know some of us can easily get out of line. Three simple truths to start out with. Number one, I'm a child of God. I and you are children of God. How great the love of the Father is that He has lavished on us, says the Scripture, that we should be called children of God. And in 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, and that is what we are, children of God. We're all in level standing, all children of God. If we're following Jesus, we're children of God. So number one, I'm a child of God. The second thing is I'm alive in Christ. Again, the Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 4. Skipped a little bit in there, but time is important. As for you, he says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace that you have been saved. That's powerful stuff. We are alive in Christ. And then the third piece to start out this sermon is this. I am a new creation. You don't know the Alan of 40 years ago. You might not have liked him, or you might have liked him. It's really hard to say, but I'm a new creation. Scripture gives me identity and is this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and that's me, and I hope that's you. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, or she is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I didn't make that up. I don't even believe that the Apostle Paul made that up. He stated what God had shown to him. If anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. That's sealed it, the deal. New creation. Now, as much as we're nodding and agreeing that those statements are true, then there's this honest part of us that may be kind of saying, wondering, if the Bible tells us that, if the Bible witnesses to that, my identity in Christ is true, why do I still sometimes battle these same thoughts and feelings? Myself, the only way I describe it is the old man comes back. The old man makes a little quick visit and has these other thoughts and wrestlings and all that. So we're going to dive into that a bit today. This morning, we continue the great escape, winning the battle for our minds. We have this word. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. The apostle says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And I'd love for you to say those words with me so that they're in your heart. Maybe you walk away with them. To demolish strongholds. Say that with me. To demolish strongholds. We'll talk about that in just a minute. The fifth verse, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And next, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Say those words with me, take captive. Take captive. We're demolishing strongholds. We have this. God has given us to demolish strongholds and also to take captive some of these difficult thoughts. He says we have this. And I believe God's word is true. This is part of our struggle. Many of us grew up, we learned how to be independent. We see these little placards, they say we're to give our children roots and wings, right? Roots and wings. We like the roots. We're not so sure about the wings. Because when they get wings, they don't always follow the path we designed for them. Amen? I didn't always follow the path designed by my mother and father. Amen? See, they're saying that about me. You don't have to worry about yourself. Alan didn't always follow that path. Amen? Oh, that you can be louder than that. Somebody's loud out there. Thank you. And we're learning independence and self-reliance and those kinds of things that are good and important. But in many cases, we start to learn independence from God. independence from God. And that's where we often get in trouble. The Apostle Paul always helps me out. If I'm in a mind kind of mush mess, I'll go to Romans 12. Because if I read through Romans 12, about 20 verses there, I can get set on a course that's probably going to shape me up. And in Romans 12, verse 2, it says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love that verse. I'm carrying that verse over into my next charge as some of our direction and theme. Not conforming to the patterns of this world. Patterns of this world have some flaws in them, friends. But God's do not. So growing up, we learned to cope with life in a variety of ways. Some of you remember, I have a bachelor's degree in psychology. I trained rats and other things at State University of New York at Fredonia. We have some other Fredonia State grads here and some people who sent their children there. Not everybody trained rats, but a part of the psychology department's specialty in Fredonia was the conditioning of rats. You press the button, it gives you a pellet of food. All right, but deeper into that, psychologists talk about some unhealthy patterns and thinking, and they call them defense mechanisms. My friend Mark is speaking into my head right now. He says, Pastor, make sure it's about the Word of God. Don't make this a psychology lesson, but I want you to hear some of these things because you will see yourself and myself in some of it, and we'll get to the richest stuff in just a moment. But they say there's many shapes and sizes for these defense mechanisms. Here are some of the names on our defense mechanisms. Number one, dishonesty. We've heard about that. Denial. Fantasy. Yeah, that's really a dangerous place there, isn't it? But it's a defense mechanism. We're not thinking straight. And it says emotional insulation. And I'll explain that one because that's a little more difficult. To withdraw from others to avoid rejection. And then there's regression. We kind of go back to another place, or displacement, which means to take our anger and frustration out on somebody else. And if you haven't had a lot of fun with that or such, then there's a thing called projection. It's a defense mechanism. It's to blame others for your problems. And then there's rationalization, which is a fancy way of saying, I make excuses. I am able to make excuses for myself. And that's all psychology. Why is that important? Because Satan knows how the mind works. Satan knows some of these keys, and he uses these to get a hold of our minds and sometimes even our hearts. And so these are strongholds of the enemy. Strongholds of the enemy that he will use to try to control your life. But what does the Apostle Paul say? We can defeat the strongholds. Amen? We can defeat them. We can demolish them. Even some of these psychological defense mechanisms. And Paul said the weapons of our warfare have divine power. Divine power. It's not in us. It's in the divine grace of God. The wrong way of thinking can be sometimes reprogrammed. We can do that psychologically. That's not necessarily any fun for people, but you can kind of reprogram it. If you believed a lie, then you can renounce the lie and choose to believe the truth. And Paul says we can take every thought captive. And I'm thinking, as I'm preaching this message, I'm thinking, what thoughts didn't I take captive this week? What thoughts didn't I take captive a month ago? And I spoke in anger. What thoughts didn't I not take captive and are lured away from the things of God? Just so you know that you're in good company when these things happen and Satan's temptation gets to you or you're wrestling with something. Martin Luther, the great reformer, was a man who changed the church He wanted to set aside some of the things of the Roman Catholic religion. Not all of them, but he said, there's some flaws here, and we want to see this other Protestant side. And so he protested. But even Martin Luther, as brilliant as he was, as fixed on the Word of God as Martin Luther was, he writes this: the devil throws hideous thoughts into the soul, hatred of God, blasphemy, and despair. Writing in his own personal struggle with Satan, Luther said, when I awake at night, the devil tarries not to seek me out. He disputes with me and makes me give birth to all kinds of strange thoughts. The devil, he says, understands how to produce arguments that exasperate me. Sometimes he has produced such as to make me doubt whether there or not there is a God. That's Martin Luther, the reformer. Martin Luther, strong man of God. So when we have some of these things, even Martin Luther had to take hold of that which had taken hold of him, his Lord Jesus, and help have his help to move through. Oh, what can we do? Okay, three things. We can develop our God awareness, remembering God is always with you. Satan can come, he can attack, but God is always with you. If you faith in Christ, God is always with you. And I'm pulling these out of Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to go just about 8 verses total, from the 4th to the 8th verse. But the first is, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And I'd have you underline this. If you had your Bible out, it would be, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Capital letters, double strike, bold print. The Lord is near. We develop our God awareness. Be conscious of the reality. God is present with you always. God is present with you always. And develop that God awareness. Sometimes in our mission trips, because we're a group and we're able to get together, once in a while, even with my wife, we'll say, where did you see God today? And that kind of makes us more aware. And we're looking, where did you see God today? Who did you see God working in today? And that's some powerful things. So develop your God awareness. The second thing is to depend upon God in everything. And the apostle says, pray continually. Pray continually. I wish I could say I always do that. I pray continually. I'm not driving down the street with my eyes closed on either. Any devices that I drive, I'm not walking. Once in a while, I walk with my eyes closed, but not very often. I'm praying sometimes when I walk to the church, but it's still not continually. But he says, pray continually. Verses 6 and 7 from Philippians. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and with petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. In Christ Jesus, we have help who will guard your hearts and your mind, especially as we pray. He gives us extra. There's that word, everything. Pray about everything. And I've seen people kind of take this really far out, but I'm not sure that it's wrong necessarily. Just pray about everything. And how easy that is, and how hard that is. Can we confess that? How easy it is to pray about everything, how hard it really is. That seems like an easy thing, but it's hard. Too many distractions. When you're anxious, when you're fearful, when you find yourself worrying, everything. It's a spiritual battle. Every day, every moment, every week, and Satan wants to go to one of those strongholds and hold on to your heart or manipulate your thoughts. And I have to say, it's time to fight back, not with the weapons of war, but the weapons of the Spirit. Pray about everything. Now, you might laugh at me, but last time I checked, everything means everything, without exception. Or let's put it in another side of things, which is the opposite of praying about nothing. In the continuum between those extremes, nothing and everything, or everything and nothing. God's looking for us to take everything there. And I said, that's been a challenge of my life, all my Christian life, all my faithful following life, to pray about everything, not to say, got this one covered, Lord, I don't even have to talk to you about it. Boy, does that turn out bad. Almost every time. We learn to depend on God in everything. Pray continuously. And lastly is defend our heart and mind. Defend our heart and mind. Be really focused in your thinking. Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think on these things. This sounds silly, but it's one of those paths that we can go down. Thinking today, wow, it's hot, it's humid, and I still have a long sleeve shirt on. At least I could bail out with my jacket, and I hope the rest of you did, but I think, where are my short sleeve shirts? And I can't go too casual because that's not honoring God quite enough. And I think, it's hot and humid. I start complaining about that. I start thinking it. And as I start to think it, it's going to come out of my lips, you know. And we were freezing to death not that many weeks ago, so why can I complain? But I have to kind of take that thought captive and say, it's a lovely day. It's a wonderful day. It's wonderful enough that those who haven't been able to make it out when it's been disastrous and difficult in the winter have been finally able to return to a church that I know they love and they desire to be present in. That's taking a thought captive. You see how that works? And I'm not perfect at it in any sense of the word, but we can win the battle for our mind and we can be free. We can be free. So I've just said, develop some God awareness. Jesus will never forsake you, will never leave you. That's His promise. That's not mine, it's His. And if we depend upon God, that means we'll be praying continually, as often as we can, praying about everything with thanksgiving. There's some real interesting things to be thankful for, I can tell you. But I've heard people do it, and I'm amazed. And third, to defend our heart, not to go back to some of those old ways of thinking. That's part of the spiritual battle, but that's the escape for the freedom of our minds. Let us be in a time of prayer. Your promises, O God, that you'll demolish some of Satan's strongholds, that you will get after them, that you can break them even when it seems like they're breaking us. That is the promise of your word. We also know that you give us that ability, even though we have no violent weapons, that we have the weapons of the Spirit and we can take captive thoughts and we can go places that other people don't want to go because they want to complain or grumble. They want to hate. They want to be difficult. And you're showing us a path that is grace and mercy and peace, even when trouble's all around. You are a God. I just want to testify, you are a God that we can trust in. You're a God that we can believe in. You're a God that will never fail us or forsake us. And Lord, help the people not to take my word for it. I'm just a messenger, a reflector of your grace and glory, but they'll take you at your promise and your word. I thank you for those who are here today. And I pray that you will walk with them every step of the way, that you'll nurture and give them defense when trouble comes. And give them glory and honor and blessing because of the name of Jesus. We thank you and praise you in His holy name. Amen. Amen.